The Peer Advantage, episode 5003, brought to you by Bula Network, LLC. Bula Network is a Peer Advantage company serving small business owners. You can find out more by going to thepeeradvantage.com. Hey, today let's dig into the book, chapter by chapter, shall we? It's kind of an audio summary of a book written by Leon Shapiro and Leo Battari, entitled The Power of Peers, How the Company You Keep Drives Leadership, Growth, and Success. Now, let me give you the full disclosure. I produced the podcast for Leo Battari, co-author of this book. And so maybe that produces a bias. Mostly it produces insights and enthusiasm around the topic, as indicated by that subtitle, How the Company You Keep Drives Leadership, Growth, and Success. I would encourage you to become a listener of Leo's podcast, where he interviews all kinds of terrific folks around the topic of peer advantage. The title of the podcast is Year of the Peer, and you can find it by going to yearofthepeer.com. Hey, let's dive into chapter one, and I would encourage you to buy this book. I'll have links over in the show notes. Just go to the website, and you can find those. CEOs are faced with a singular reality. There are very few people they can rely upon for impartial advice. That's a quote from chapter one of this book. According to a study conducted by the Center for Leadership Development and Research at Stanford Graduate School of Business, Stanford University's Rock Center for Corporate Governance, and the Miles Group, many CEOs struggle with isolation and a sense of loneliness. Almost two-thirds of CEOs don't receive any outside leadership advice. 100% of the respondents to this study said that they would be open to make changes based on feedback. Sir Richard Branson is quoted as having said, "Many people think that an entrepreneur is someone who operates alone, overcoming challenges and bringing his ideas to market through sheer force of personality. This is completely inaccurate. Few entrepreneurs, scratch that, almost no one ever achieved anything worthwhile without help. CEOs can teach one another. A CEO can question the validity of joining a peer advisory group comprised of diverse leaders." I mean, how will CEOs who know nothing about my specific business or my industry, how can they help me? And some may wonder, how much time are we really going to spend on issues that impact my company? By coming together, CEOs help each other realize their individual goals. Instead of learning through reading case studies, they work in real time on actual business issues. It provides a broader range of perspectives in business issues, and far more than a CEO would be exposed to from people at their own company. But there's something else. There's another benefit. CEOs in such groups begin to view their companies vertically and horizontally. They pay closer attention to the power of peers within their own organization. The power of peers is partly found in not getting answers, but in being questioned. That benefit is sparked because of a few fundamental elements found in an effective peer advisory group. Number one, impartiality. Fellow CEOs aren't bothered with the considerations of employees, board members, suppliers, or customers. They have no agenda other than helping one another grow their business. Number two, shared challenges. CEOs in these groups serve completely different customers, perhaps, but they share common challenges about employees, growth, profitability, executive development, technology, a host of other things. Their diversity results in enhanced learning. The more they talk, the more they realize they have in common. Number three, learning. Shared ideas across different industries at different stages of growth, well, that makes for rich conversations where deep learning happens. Sharing wins and losses, it builds trust. And that further deepens the conversation and the learning. Number four, empathy. Takes one to know one. People who have never been a CEO can't relate, but fellow CEOs can. The empathy of people walking in the same shoes is vital to creating an environment where shared experiences enrich everybody's life. Number five, owning the solution. Peer advisory groups aren't consulting firms. And so instead of offering solutions, they help members arrive at their own. And each member decides for themselves what actions they'll take. In 1991, Etienne Wenger Trainer and Gene Love coined the term communities of practice. It's been described as, quote, groups of people who share a concern, a set of problems, or a passion about a topic, and who deepen their knowledge and expertise in this area by interacting on an ongoing basis. And that's exactly what happens inside a peer advisory group of CEOs or business owners. In ancient Greece, craftsmen would form communities where members would train one another, and they would share innovations. Then during the Middle Ages, guilds, those were formed, and they offered a similar experience for artisans. Ben Franklin, in early American history, organized a group of 12 friends to provide an ongoing forum for structured discussion. And that original group was diverse. There were printers, surveyors, a cabinet maker, a cobbler, a clerk, and a merchant. They met on Friday evenings to talk politics and morals and philosophy. Said Franklin, "Our debates were to be under the direction of a president and to be conducted in the sincere spirit of inquiry after truth, without fondness for dispute or desire of victory." In 1793, the group originally known as the Junta, well, they became the American Philosophical Society, created to promote useful knowledge in the colonies. It still operates today. Most people first heard of the idea in Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich. In that book, he described the advent of the mastermind group and how Andrew Carnegie and Henry Ford credited their mastermind groups for much of their success. Hill regarded these groups as the secret to success of all great men at the time. As of 2015, millennials represented 45% of the workforce. 28% of them serve in management. It's a generation that relishes connection with colleagues. Digital and face-to-face connections are highly sought and valued. The communities of practice found in a business peer advisory group, such as the Peer Advantage, it gives business owners the ability to work on their current issues and challenges in real time. No case studies, no fictional scenarios, real time learning that happens from their own individual and collective experiences. Peer influence is not the same as peer advantage. We connect online, maybe in person, and mostly we connect with acquaintances, even if they're people that we've never met before. We're acquainted with them, maybe by their digital footprint. We network online or at a conference or maybe a local event. It's likely more selective and with a purpose of advancing personal and professional interest. There's a difference between peer influence and peer advantage. In the first one, we experience it when we connect and network. In the latter, peer advantage is when we optimize and accelerate. And those are two terms that are going to be the focus of the book. We optimize when we work together in teams to perform at high levels of excellence. Think Blue Angels or Special Forces. Accelerate is the ultimate means for gaining peer advantage. The objective is to grow, meet tough challenges, achieve lofty goals, and grow as leaders. Peer advantage is peer influence of the higher order. Peer advisory groups employ five factors that are essential to the group experience and to achieving the desired outcomes of every individual and the group. Here's what they are. Number one, select the right peers. Find true peers who share your commitment to excellence. Number two, create a safe environment. Cultivate an atmosphere that's judgment-free, that inspires open dialogue, and fosters deep learning. Number three, utilize a smart guide, somebody who can effectively facilitate this conversation. Number four, foster valuable interaction. Establish a process that encourages rich and meaningful conversations. Number five, be accountable. Honor a shared expectation that you will do what you say you will do. No CEO or business owner should have to go it alone. And that's how chapter one ends. The Power of Peers, How the Company You Keep Drives Leadership, Growth, and Success by Leon Shapiro and Leo Battari. Now, let me put a bow on this. Tell you to buy the book. You absolutely should buy the book. And that way you'll be able to follow along with greater detail. And all of these notes you can find over at the website, growgreat.com. So if you didn't take notes, don't worry. You don't have to. I did that for you. And if you read the book, you can follow along. And I hope to give you an overall sense of the book's content, but I would encourage you to further read and study. Peer groups are quite natural. You know, we experience them, and we have experienced them anytime we're part of a team or an organization that works together toward a common purpose. Now, as business owners and leaders, most of us have not experienced it. Instead, we're surrounded by our employees, and that may include our executive team. And these are good people. They may even be great people. I mean, after all, we had a hand in bringing these people into our organization, either directly or indirectly. Now, we've also got vendors and suppliers, and some of those folks, they're close to us. I mean, we might even socialize with a few of these people because, well, we like them. And we've got professional people. We've got these service providers who help us at every turn. We've got our CPA or our accountant. We've got an attorney. We may have a real estate professional. We've got all these professionals who help us navigate a variety of specific challenges. All good people, some of them great, but they all need something. They all want something. They all require something from us, and that's fine. In fact, that's how it ought to be. Through the years, I have sat down with countless CEOs and business owners to discuss their challenges, and in every instance, they're surrounded by people just like I've described, and yet in every instance, they admit that there are many things in their lives that they just have to endure alone. They can't go to any of those people about these things. I'm thinking of a CEO who's having secret meetings with another company, and they're having preliminary discussions about an acquisition. He's considering acquiring this company, and he confesses he can't even go across the hall and have this conversation with his CFO. Not yet. To a business owner whose wife has just been diagnosed with a very serious ailment, he just doesn't feel like going to somebody else with this. Professional issues and personal issues. Surrounded by all these people, Rolodexes to die for, and yet alone. Every human being yearns for connection. Doesn't matter how tough you are. Doesn't matter how smart you are. Doesn't matter how well educated you are. Doesn't matter how resilient you have been or how resilient you still are. You need other people. There's no such thing as a self-made man or a self-made woman. We have all needed help. All of us have gotten some help. Small to medium business owners are accustomed to going their own way. And maybe you have prided yourself in being unemployable because, well, you just can't work for somebody else. And maybe you've just been driven to do your own thing. It doesn't really matter. Whatever your drives, whatever your motivators are, whatever they've been, you are at the helm of your own business, and it all rests on you. You are number one. That proverbial buck, it does indeed stop with you, and you wouldn't have it any other way. All of that firefighting, all of that pressure, all that stress, yeah, we love it. We love it. But that doesn't make us immune from loneliness and the desire to have input from other people. There's a trite proverb, but many people would argue that that doesn't make it any less true. I'm going to argue that it's completely false. You've heard it. It's an African proverb that says, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. Instead, I'm going to argue that business owners can go fast and far together. I'm going to argue you can go faster together. I mean, all you got to do is look at racing. I don't care if it's car racing. I don't care if it's foot racing. I don't care if it's bicycle racing. A group of people in formation going together are going to go faster. They just are. They push each other. In NASCAR, literally. Growth is accelerated when we have help and support of other people. The truth of it is we can reach higher, faster, when we go together. And that's what the Peer Advantage is all about. You want more details? Just simply go to the website, thepeeradvantage.com. And there it is, kids, episode 5003. Lord willing, creek doesn't rise. We'll do chapter 2 next time in episode 5004. And I'll even lean on Leo, and we'll get one of the co-authors here to chime in with us on occasion. And may bring him in even next time. We'll just have to wait and see. Have to wait and see if I can corral him and get his schedule to work out. But it's a terrific book. It's a book that you should read, and I can kind of tease you and tell you that next year, Lord willing, Leo will have a second book out. He's already kind of getting people to give him feedback by way of social media, what they think the title ought to be. And much of that content is going to be derived from the things that we're learning in the podcast that he is doing and I'm helping him with, The Year of the Peer. So again, I would encourage you to not only listen to this podcast, but if this is a subject matter that interests you, and it should, then I would encourage you to also subscribe to his podcast, Year of the Peer with Leo Battari. Hey, till next time, I appreciate you. Thanks for listening. Tell a friend, share the podcast, and I hope you'll subscribe. Thanks.